Good morning, all. Anybody travel over the holidays? None. I heard from a fellow that was flying, and he was online getting on the airplane, and there was a raccoon in front of him carrying two dead possums. And the stewardess stopped the raccoon and says, "I'm sorry, only one carry-on per flight." We welcome you. Today is the fifth Sunday, and we don't have our cups and everything out. We're going to do our fifth Sunday next Sunday. So it'll be the fifth plus one. So remember to bring change. That goes to our missional giving, and we're glad to have that always come in. So please be prepared for that next Sunday. What other announcements do we have for the good of the order on this coming week? Paya, can you fill us in on the Tongans, on the Tongan schedule, please?
We will have the week of prayer starting, I believe, the week of the 6th. And we will be here every night from 6 o'clock till we are done and cleaned out of here, 6 p.m.
Okay, and are you having a service following this service?
Yes, we will have a service following this service.
At 12:30.
Correct. And then at 10 p.m. on Tuesday, we have our watch night service.
Okay. And that's open to anybody that would like to come Tuesday night and watch with?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very kindly for sharing that. Other announcements, other things for the good of the order that we need to be aware of? I don't see anything else, so I'm glad to see all of you. One last time for 2024, we will celebrate and we will be in worship as is proper. Stand, if you will, wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship.
Please remain standing for the call of worship. Brothers and sisters, this is the last time we will see one another in this year. As we say goodbye to 2024, we look forward to what 2025 will be. Lord, with you we stand assured. Lord, help us prepare ourselves in all ways and at all times to follow you faithfully. Please, never mind. It's your turn.
So while you're standing, reach for your hymn note or follow on the screen. We will be singing "He Is Born," number 228.
Born the orb, born baptized.
is Mary. He is born the Holy Child. Sing we all a Savior mild. Jesus, Lord of all the world, coming as a child among us. Jesus, Lord of all the world, grant to us thy heavenly peace. He is born the Holy Child, playing the oboe, bagpipes merrily. He is born the Holy Child, sing we all a Savior mild. Please be seated.
This morning's first scripture is from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Maybe I'll get down.
We turn to our time of prayer. Wayne, you told me your brother's name, and Jerry. His brother Jerry has come down with COVID, so we want to lift him, be aware of him. I don't know if you know, Michael was off his oats for a while. He was quite ill. He is back with us, doing kind of a lot better. It turns out one of the cures was a burrito and yogurt, believe it or not, to try and get his gut biome back in shape. But true story. Want to celebrate that. Other concerns around the table. Michael, Richard Schneer has the concern, please.
Yeah, we just learned last evening and again this morning that Don Boyles is back in the hospital. I'm not exactly sure what it is, which part of his ailments, but anyway, he's in the hospital, and Jeanette contacted us and asked that we ask for prayers.
Okay, prayers for Don Boyles. Try and keep you updated with his condition as things persist. Other concerns, other prayers. Two plane crashes since we last met. Those are always traumatic and heartbreaking. Struggles go on. We want to be aware of those and continue to lift them. By way of celebrations, I have down here that today the 29th, all day? Yes, it is. Dave and Ruby Freeman have an anniversary today. Do we know how many years? We do not, but happy anniversary to them. Tomorrow, I have down here that Ellen Smith Doctor has a birthday coming up. Is that right? Do you want to tell us which one, or shall we just say 21? All right, we'll go at 21. She's going to finally come of age here. Did you remember, Mark?
Of course.
Okay, all right. I have down here that Carolyn Relford has a birthday on January 3rd. Those are all the birthdays and anniversaries that I know. Pia, did I miss any other Tongans that you know of?
No.
All right, I didn't know. I don't know of any others. By way of other celebrations, did Santa Claus come to anyone? Hands, yes, yes, amen. All right, we've received gifts and, well, gift giving and gift receiving when we can celebrate all of that. Anything else by way of our prayer time as we are about gathering and continuing? Turn with me, if you will. Let us turn to our unison prayer and read responsively. Lord God, hear our prayers. Lord, as we approach the new year, we pause and reflect upon the losses of this year. We have experienced pain, change, loss, and fear. We have also experienced joy and laughter, celebration and new life amidst healing and grace. Lord, we pause in worship. We pause and give you thanks. Lord God, the new year is an empty slate to us. We do not know what it will bring. In our weaker moments, we focus upon worldly things and sorrow. Lord, remind us to turn to you in joy and trust in the new year. Grant us, gracious God, the courage to walk with you in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Holy, loving God, you came to us in the form of a vulnerable baby, and we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for sharing Jesus with us, and we give you thanks for interrupting hatred and greed, for interrupting corruption and violence with divine love. Interrupt our lives once again, Lord, and lead us to partner with you as peacemakers and justice seekers in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and in your world. Lord, show us how to embody your pure love, the essence of Christmas. Show us how to greet everyone as our brothers and sisters, everyone we meet. Lord, we ask special prayers lifted in silence. And Lord, we give you thanks in the name of Emmanuel, God with us. Lord God, hear our prayers and hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll pause a moment as we turn to our offertory. Richard Schneer here.
I wonder as I wander
under the sky, how Jesus the Savior was come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. And high from God's heavens a star's light did fall, and the wonder of the ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the King. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
If you'll please stand for the reading of the gospel. Matthew 1, 1 through 6 and 15, 16. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Aram, and Aram, the father of Abinadab, and Abinadab, the father of Nashun, and Nashun, the father of Solomon, and Solomon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Eulid, the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar, the father of Mathan, and Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Messiah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. We got to say thank you for her for doing that one. That was a tough one. And thank you for being liturgist for this month. Come and join Stephanie. Holly, come. Bring kiddos. Bring. Come. Our video is one big family.
I got a friend in Jesus, so you got a friend in me. Let's have some fun. You got a friend in me. party, cause I got a friend in Jesus, so you got a friend in me. Let's have some fun with each other, like we're one big happy family. Clap your hands, stomp your feet. Now let's get down, 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 down.
Get up.
Now jump and sing with me, cause I got a friend in Jesus, so you got a friend in me. Let's have some fun with each other, like we're one big happy family. Now let me hear you shout, hey!
Hey!
Now shout it again, hey!
Hey!
Yeah, let's do it all together, cause we'll be doing it forever together.
That's on my bucket list. That was a Christmas gathering. You know, in Australia, it's summer now. It's the height of summer. So they do barbecues on the Barbie, you know. They do cookouts and whatever. I did once have Christmas Eve in Palm Springs, and that was, I tell you what. At any rate, we come and we gather in this last Sunday of the Earth. Didn't Sandy do a great job with all those names? How many of you knew all those names? Not a single hand went up, Sandy, so you're good. And I told Sandy, I don't know that I've ever read that, had that scripture read for a worship service before. It's the Matthian beginning. It's Matthew's beginning because it's the genealogy of Jesus. It's an important thing. You know, who and how and what have you, and genealogy, and that's becoming big again. But how many of you have had your genealogy done? Ancestry.com or 23.com, 23andMe or what have you? I did, and it was kind of fun, and I sent a gift package to my daughter, too. It's amazingly accurate, has picked up all the people that have taken the test that are family that I knew of. Listed siblings, it listed, extended family. It's intriguing because, you see, my biological dad and the father that raised me are different. The father that I grew up with, my dad Carl, was a wonderful saint. He is partly why I am in ministry, and I'm the luckiest guy in the world to have had him as my dad. But my biological father, I didn't know anything about him, and so I did the genealogy thing and found his name and some of the details of family, and to my great disappointment, he was neither rich nor famous. That's all right, we'll let it go. I don't know any of the other members of that side of the family. I've not been in contact with him. I did find that I have a brigadier general who was an uncle and the Air Force, so you guys can salute me. I don't know if it passes down genealogically, but we can find that and what have you. Had an interesting thing happen. When you're online and you find these distant relatives, you can allow them to see your profile, and you can send messages to each other from your profile to their profile. And I emailed one of them. It's a gal I've never met. She's back east somewhere, about my age. I think she's maybe a cousin one rung up. I don't know what you call that, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, she had all of her kids. She has 12 kids, and all of their genealogy was there. So I'll tell you what, her side of the chart just fills up real quick. But anyway, she told me that she did her genealogy, And they got the results back, and her mom and her mom's side of the family and her dad's side wasn't her biological dad. Turns out, and she had to do some research, turns out her biological dad was her mom's boss when her mom was at a tender age. Her mom and dad had both passed. She says, I can't ask them, you know, if they knew or if it was ever, she said it was never shared. I don't know if the dad that raised me knew. I don't know any of the details. And we don't know whether it was one of those cases where dad that bore, the biological father forced himself on an employee, whether it was some other occasion, we don't know. And it doesn't matter now, it's kind of in the past here. And it's intriguing now to see Jesus' lineage as well. And to see that, you know, I'm a Heinz 57. He's kind of a Heinz 57 as well. Did you notice in that listing, David and Bathsheba? And the story, you remember the story of David and Bathsheba. 2 Samuel talks about in the spring of the year when good kings go off to war. King David did not go off to war with the rest of his armies. And from the top of his battlements, he spotted Bathsheba, and he was taken by her. He had her come to his place. I don't think this was an affair. When the king summons you, you have to go. And he impregnated her. He finds out she's pregnant, and so he orders her husband, who is one of his generals, to come back from the battlefield. Come back and spend the night with your wife so that they can blame the pregnancy on Uriah, the husband. Well, he refuses to have relationships with his wife because his troops are out in the field and he thinks that would just be unwise. So David is in a quandary. He orders Uriah killed. Uriah dies, and David takes in the poor Bathsheba in her sorrow and marries her, and then he can claim that they conceive the child then. The child comes to term, is born, but it dies at several days old. David is sure he gets away with it, but we all know that God sees through that, and God speaks to him, condemns him. David does penance. So this is, I should continue. David and Bathsheba have three more boys. The firstborn is Solomon. We've heard of King Solomon, haven't we? But this is in Jesus' lineage now. This is part of his history. My goodness gracious sakes. If I was going to have a lineage, I'd want it to be a little more pristine than that. And if it wasn't, I certainly wouldn't print it and list it and have it right there in the Bible for everybody to read about. How about you? Would you want to sanitize it? When my dad married my mom, the guy that raised me, he adopted me, and they went to the judge. And the judge says, well, we will make it look like you were the birth father from the very get-go. We'll take away the old birth certificate, and we'll make a brand new birth certificate, and it will show that you're really the birth father, so no one will know that he's actually adopted. So that's the way it was until I went to get a passport. And they said, how come your birth certificate was issued when you were 5 years old? Well, fortunately, I knew the rest of the story. And fortunately, I was in the same town. It's actually here in Jefferson County. The courthouse was nearby. I could go there and file the papers and get everything squared away because I ended up leading a mission trip and I sort of needed a passport. But what is done in darkness will come to light. Isn't that passage there? And here is Jesus' lineage. Now, why would the pastor be talking about Matthew and Jesus' lineage and all of that? It's the last Sunday of the 2024, where would we be going? But I read an article by Peter Wehrer, New York Times, New Year's Eve. And it talked, and here's a line out of what Ware wrote. He said, Jesus' lineage includes murderers, adulterers, prostitutes, and people who committed incest, liars, schemers, and idolaters. The genealogy of Jesus is also a story of radical inclusion. Several of the women listed in the first chapter of Matthew are Gentiles. So here's Werner's article, and I'm reading this, and I'm thinking this is kind of interesting. Where is he trying to go with this? But his point was a simple one. Jesus' family was like my family. There were in-laws and outlaws. There are all of those in here. It was a dysfunctional Heinz 57 blend of motley mixed bunch. It wasn't pure, and it did not define him. It did not define Jesus, and it does not define us. Dysfunctional families of origin, sure, they have impact in us, and they might have things that influence how we are and who we are. Some of it's wonderful and delightful. Nalu and Paya, your Tongan heritage is a blessing. It's a gift, and knowing that piece of that heritage is exciting. I found out that I have some heritage that's Irish, Welsh, that area. I don't know anything about Scotland, Ireland, anything like that. And I thought, well, I kind of wish I'd known that growing up. It would have inspired some interest. The only thing I knew was my father's name, Freitag. You all know what Freitag means. Okay, days of the week in German. Montag, Dunstag. Montag, Dunstag, Mittwoch, Donnerstag, Freitag. I'm Friday. Your man Friday, right here in the pulpit. Now you know a little bit of German, more than you probably needed to know. But there are Freitags in Germany that are the same, so how much family I have over there, I have no idea. But our heritage can be a gift to us. It can also be a potpourri of all kinds of strange and unusual things. It can be something that some families would like to hide, and yet none of it defines who we can be in Jesus Christ. That's important. What has been and heritage does not define us. Now, in a minute here, we're going to try and sing a song that I have never sung in church before, Oh Holy Night. Have you ever heard that song? Never done it in church before. You can kind of try and look it up in your hymnal. I was going to get there. It's not in the hymnal. It's not in the hymnal at all. It's hard to sing. We're going to try and do it to a bit. And I threw it at Mark. He's going to try and lead us in this. So have prayer for Mark. I threw out a difficult task to Sandy of the scripture, throwing out a difficult task to Mark, leading the closing hymn. We'll see how we get with it. But it turns out it has a history as well. You see, the lyricist is Placide Capo. He did the lyrics, the words, okay? And then the guy that later put it to music is Adolphe Charles Adam. I don't know anything about either of them much, except that the one who did the lyrics, it turns out he grew up in the church, and it was a parish priest who asked him to put together the poem that became the lyrics. But it turns out later in life that the guy that wrote the lyrics, Capo, he began to oppose the Roman Catholic Church. He began to be a strong opponent thereof and was called an atheist. And so the Roman Catholic Church said, you're going to write a hymn. Well, it's not going to be in our hymnal. No way. So there was kind of some bad blood going on there. But again, our past doesn't define us. Will it define us? Will this hymn work? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting experiment, Mark. I'm dying to see how well it's going to work. We'll make it go. We're a family. We make these things happen, don't we? But our past does not define us. There are other examples. Do you remember Jesus? They brought a woman caught in the act of adultery to him. Not accused, but caught in the act. And they wanted to stone her to death because that's what the law says. And Jesus says, okay, whichever one of you is pure and has never made a mistake, is without sin, you cast the first stone. And of course we know they all, one by one, they all left. And he turned to her and he says, woman, has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go on your way and sin no more. He doesn't condone what she has done, but her past has not defined her either. Is that what Paul was writing to the people in Colossae? I don't know all of the politics of what's going on. Here's this church, one of the churches that he's founded, and he's writing a letter back to them, and maybe there's some stuff going on, but listen to what he says. He says, bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. We tend to be a judgmental people. I don't know what it is about humanity, but we want to take charge. We want to be the judge and jury. We want to be the ones that decide it. And we don't mind criticizing others. And the scripture that Paul wrote, he says, teach and admonish one another in wisdom. Yeah, we're more than happy to do that. We'll teach each other how to do it right, won't we? I got the right way, and I'll show you. You know, you get on board with my way of doing things. But he wants to push back. Because, you see, we have failed to be obedient to him. I will judge, says the Lord, not you. Judge not, lest ye be judged, the King James Version. Clothe yourselves with compassion, Paul said. Kindness and humility. Humility. It's a little word, but that's a big thing. How can we do that? And America, of all people, Americans, to be humble. My goodness, that's going to be a challenge. It is a big challenge for us both nationally and individually. We go on. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We've talked about patience. I've got lots of patience. As long as you give it to me right away. We know Paul. We know what kind of a person he was. He tended to be officious and judgmental, and he was a type A personality, and it was his way or the highway all the way around, and he was totally human. But he understood Jesus, and he is pushing back. It may be his own journey he's talking about. Humility, meekness, patience. So with Paul, we can forgive him his trespasses. We can forgive those who trespass against us. We just said that earlier today. We say it every Sunday. Sometimes we say it without meaning it, like I love you. But let us forgive those who trespass against us. And on this final Sunday of the year, it might be a very important and appropriate thing to do. Sometimes people write a list of things to give up. Give up judging. Give up grudges that you've carried. Give up those places where you hold trespasses against others. Turn to Jesus, this person with a checkered past like our own, who walked the perfect path, and let us aspire to perfection as we move on to perfection. Amen? Let's turn to, oh, holy night. Mark, come. Prayer for you, brother, as you lead us. Let's stand and sing.
Shining, it is a night of
We might have to include that in our genre, in our what?
I do have music.
You have the music, all right. So now we're all set and we're ready to go with that. We did all right. It does have a wide range there. Did you see it here then? Some of us jumped down an octave, didn't we? That's all right too. New things, old things, the end of the year, 2025 coming upon us. Happy New Year to May as we prepare. In the new year, go in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Offer Christ, offer love, forgiveness, and humility. Amen? Let's join hands, sing our closing. God's people said, Amen. Amen.